painful conversation, but it's my turn. And so, yeah. Guys, you know, let's think about Christmas here for a moment. Christmas, in every respect, is intended to be a season for joy. That's what the whole point of it. It's a joyful time of the year. And this is increasingly the case for kids, right? I mean, kids absolutely love Christmas. They get so excited waiting for the big day to get here. It seems like it takes forever, right, when you're a kid. But when you're an adult, it gets here in no time. And when it does get here, you're not ready for it. But that's as an adult. As a kid, it seems like it takes forever, and then it finally gets here, and they tear into their present, and they hopefully won't get disappointed with what they get, right? I shared last week about what happened when I was around 6 years old, and I opened up my present, and it was not what I was expecting. Remember the primordial scream that still echoes in the attic of my farmhouse? Still there, I swear. It was terrible, and I'm sure my parents really appreciated that. All their hard work ended up in my bawling my eyes out. But really, you know, you got to give a kid a break because they are so excited about Christmas. I mean, they're wide-eyed, they're full of hope and expectation, and I'm serious, they think they know what's inside the present. You know, they're convinced they know what's in there, and they know that it's got to be a Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. It's in there. They know it. And so they tear into it, they open it up, and it's a pair of underwear. Right? We talked about this. The grief cycle sets in. Yeah, it happens instantly. First, it's denial. This can't be. Maybe they opened somebody else's present. Sure sign, you look to see if you read that tag right. Yeah, so you lose that one. So then what do? You go to bargaining. That's the next step in the grief cycle, is bargaining. You look around to see what everybody else is getting, and maybe they're willing to trade. A pair of underwear? That doesn't get too far. So, you know, you move on to the next phase, which is anger. You know, they start to quiver the lip, you know, and then they realize it's just going nowhere. Depression, acceptance, sit in. You sit in the corner and you pout and you despair of life. It'll never get better. Life is lost. I'll never love again. Yeah, it gets like that. So, I mean, that's what happens when you're a kid. But, you know, but you say, wait a minute. Isn't Christmas supposed to be a season for joy, right? Well, let's think about that for a minute. I wonder at times just how joyful was it for Adam and Eve, for Mary and Joseph on that first Christmas day. How joyful was that for them? I mean, let's think about this. Mary was pregnant, out of wedlock. She was away from home when her water breaks. She gives birth to her firstborn son in a barn. Sounds kind of depressing to me. It doesn't sound like a very merry Christmas. And like all true nightmares, this one starts with the government. Yeah, it's recorded right there in Luke chapter 2. So Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, records the event, and this is what Luke wrote. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I mean, have you ever stopped to consider what a dismal, depressing picture this is? And yet when we think of that story, if we think about the birth of Christ, we get all these warm fuzzies. You know, we think about this sanitized open-air manger with all these obedient little animals sitting around keeping time. You know, little drummer boy, the ox and the lamb, they kept time. Yeah. Anyway, in my opinion, it was after this series of events that things really got interesting. Luke goes on to write this. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Again, there's no mention of being Mary here. They were freaked out. They were terrified. You realize what's going on here, don't you? The shepherds, these guys, were experiencing an extraterrestrial event. An alien invasion is recorded right there in Luke. It reminds me of the last time I watched Out There TV. Yeah, it's my usual Sunday morning routine. Go to church, watch Out There TV, do some bowling, and sleep easy at night knowing that if I'm abducted by aliens, they most likely got to Nina first. So, yeah. So that's how things go. But a frequent feature on Out There TV are reports of these mysterious orbs. Maybe you've heard of it. Yeah, these minute aliens appear on film in the most unsuspecting places. In fact, they've been photographed at a music event that I helped buy and build and manage in Ames called Zeke's. Look at that. Caught right there in film, right there in Ames. You'll notice in this photograph that they appear around the picture of Corinne shortly before she was abducted. Yeah. Now, for you doubters out there, I will comment that just because these mysterious orbs appear in increasing numbers whenever somebody is sweeping the floor, it's purely coincidental. Just thought I'd mention that. Okay. I know, this is unnerving to me as well, but you can imagine the shepherd's response to this angelic interruption, right? They were terrified. It's kind of like how you feel sometimes when you realize the family is going to get together for the holidays. It's kind of a similar feeling to that. Yeah, I know how it is. I mean, I realize we're talking about Christmas, and Christmas is supposed to be a season for joy. Right? But oftentimes this season can be the most stressful of the year. Not only because all the gifts you have to buy and the decorations and the parties, but because of family, right? They can be particularly difficult. My extended family is a bit of an oddity in that we can talk about the most controversial of items like extraterrestrials and not go after each other's throats. Now, that's pretty nice. But there is this one friend of the family. Yeah, whenever we realize that he's coming over for the holidays, we're terrified. Yeah, kind of like the shepherds. We'll lovingly call him Fred. And Fred is one of those guys who can only talk about one subject, himself. Right. And it's always a depressing one. I can't get a job. I can't get married to save my life. I can't get a good haircut. You know the type. Well, he's kind of like that. They're difficult to say the least. Whenever Fred's around, tension rises, and you try to avoid his favorite topic at all costs and pray that maybe he might get abducted by the mysterious orbs. But that never happens, so there you go. But that's a friend of the family, you know? When it's actually family that you're at odds with, then it's really hard. I remember growing up always being frustrated with my dad. I mean, we've been waiting for Christmas to come for years. I mean, we milked the cows in record time. We got our boxes all colored, waiting to make a killing. But no, we have to wait for Dad to come in from out of the barn. I mean, it would take him forever minutes turn into hours, hours into days. Sometimes we just don't know what he was doing out there. One time, it took him so long to come in from the barn, we thought for sure the mysterious orbs got to him. But no, he did eventually come in, and then he has to change his clothes. Wow. I'm serious. You know, there was one time it took him so long to get ready, it was Easter by the time he came out of the room. Well, you see, my dad, he had the enviable job of passing out the gifts. And when you think of Christmas, isn't that what you think about? The gifts. You think about the gifts. Historians tell us that gift giving really didn't become a cultural part of Christmas until Macy's came to town. Yeah, he preempted Santa Claus. When Macy's came to town, then all of a sudden gift giving went into high gear. But the biblical precedence for gift giving came from these wise guys that show up. Yeah, for this story, you have to go to Matthew chapter 2, where these wise guys, and we lovingly call them the Magi, from the east, saw an unusual celestial phenomenon. They called it a star. We all know it as the mysterious orb's mothership. Okay? And so these guys, they hunt it down and are directed right to the house where Jesus' parents are living. Now, yes, these guys are unexpected visitors during the holidays, and that can be tough, but they're bringing presents, so it's okay. Okay? And so we all know that they brought three gifts with them. And you can just imagine the scene, right? The first wise guy comes forward and he produces gold. Yeah, right. Now, men and women, they respond to large sums of money differently. Women start to cry. No one knows why. We cannot explain it. It's one of those odd phenomenons. Not even out there TV could figure it out. But they'll start to cry. Men, on the other hand, we get nervous. Are the Romans around? Do I have to pay taxes on this? You know, is Fred here? You know, that kind of thing. You know, so we just get nervous. So here they are. They get this gold. Now, usually our family didn't have much for money, but there was one particular year, the year that I came onto the scene, that there was an option for particular large sums of money to come our way if I was born before Christmas. Well, my dad, he virtually threatened my mom that if she did not give birth to me before the new year so that he could save all this money on taxes, if she didn't, she was going to be sleeping in the barn. Yeah, my mom, she did not need Pitocin to get me to be born. Fear forced me out. Yeah, it happened. And she brought me home in this stocking right here. Here it is. This is the stocking that I came home in. Something happened to me since that time. I think the mysterious orbs got to me or something. But anyways, this is the actual stocking that I was brought home in. So, while my mom was snuggling with me in the warmth of her own bed, my dad took his additional tax savings and bought a brand new 65 Dodge Dart. Yes, it was a season for joy for him that year. Then the next gift, okay, the Magi comes forward with the next gift, and the Magi says, I think you could use one of these. And he gives them some frankincense. Frankincense is a resin that gives off a sweet aroma when burnt, kind of like a scented candle. Always a Christmas favorite for those on a tight budget, you know? And plus, women like them. They don't cry when they get these. They actually like them. And we all know that if mom is happy, everybody's happy. So, scented candle, that's a gift idea for you all to remember. And then the last gift, myrrh, more incense. You could just imagine Joseph at this point. Lip starts to quiver. He starts to think, bargaining. Hey, you got any gold? You know, I could just see it being a difficult moment, but he gets through it. Now, you realize, though, you can't be too hard on these guys because at least they were wise enough not to give Mary and Joseph any fruitcake, right? I mean, believe it or not, fruitcake was actually used by the Romans in those days to feed their troops when they were in faraway lands. Yeah, this is serious. The generals discovered that not only does fruitcake possess eternal qualities, like it never goes bad, you know, not only that, but it also accelerates adrenaline, making their soldiers fierce in battle. Yeah, the Crusaders used it for the same purpose, as well as a backup weapon during hand-to-hand combat. It's always helpful for that. Okay, so, besides, I mean, had the wise men given Jesus a fruitcake, one of the worst tragedies of mankind would have occurred. People would start to worship it. You know why? Because it's becoming common knowledge that there's really only one fruitcake in the whole world. And it just gets passed on from house to house year after year. And so with only one fruitcake, people would start to worship this. They would call it the holy fruitcake. And we wouldn't want that. No, sir. No, the wise men knew better than to give such a gift to the newborn king. And that actually is what is truly amazing about these gifts. Each one foreshadowed the life and death of Jesus. Gold was a gift fit for a king. Jesus was the King of Kings. Frankincense was burnt in worship to God. Jesus was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, it means God with us. And myrrh was used when burying the dead. Jesus' death was to pay the penalty for our sins. It was the purpose of his life, the reason why he was born. It's just incredible, amazing insight that they had into the true identity and purpose of Jesus Christ, even noting the significance of his death. As we all know, the death of a friend or a family member can suck the joy right out of Christmas. And we all are still mourning and miss the loss of our dear Jenny, even in this little fellowship. And her family, I'm sure, all the more so. My dad, he died just a few weeks after the Christmas of 95. And that following Christmas, there was no waiting for Dad to come in from the barn. All those things that irritated you before are insignificant now. In fact, they're even missed. All you can think about is how much you wish he was back. Christmas oftentimes serves only as a reminder of what you no longer have. But that has always been a part of Christmas. I'd like you to listen to an actual phone call to a radio station by a 13-year-old boy several years ago. This kid offers incredible insight into this very point that I want to make. Go ahead.
Around the world.
Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
She broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why she was special. And God said, you know, Logan, my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're gonna be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
God can use you even when you feel, you know, you feel low and you feel, you know, oh, God's never going to use me. I'm just a piece of dirt. He'll actually use you, you know. You're not a piece of dirt to God. You're a piece of gold.
When the angel appeared to the shepherds, they said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." I'm amazed that the angel's proclamation of great joy, because I'm not so sure just how great of a day it was for the angels. All of heaven lost the Son of God that day. On that first Christmas day, the Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The incarnation took place, and miraculously, God was now physically with us. I don't want to create too much of a distinction between the heavens and the earth. God created them both, and it's God's desire that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But guys, Philippians 2 describes a humiliation for Christ to become a human being and to be born on earth. What we celebrate on Christmas was a difficult loss for Christ and for all of heaven. And yet the angels bring us good news of great joy that will be for all the people. A Savior has been born for us. That's the real reason for joy during Christmas. It's the only reason that really lasts. It's not getting the perfect gift or having harmony in the home. Those things are nice, and thank God if you get them. But the real reason for joy during Christmas is not found in things, and it's not even found in people. It's found in God's gift for you, the gift of Himself. He gave himself to you. And you can find joy in that even if you don't get what you wanted for Christmas. Even if there's yelling going on downstairs or the mysterious orbs take you away or great Aunt Ruth comes over and gives you a fruitcake. Guys, you can have great joy because God has given you the greatest gift imaginable. The gift of himself, so that you could inherit the gift of eternal life. It's amazing to me that after seeing the baby Jesus, the shepherds, it says, spread the word concerning what they had been told, what had been told them about the child. I mean, they totally lost sight of the fact that their sheep were at risk, their means of living. It's kind of like losing your job the week before Christmas. They were jeopardizing their income. Or they just saw this woman forced to give birth to a baby in a barn. How demoralizing is that? But it paled in comparison to what they were witnessing, to what they were seeing right in front of their eyes. God himself had come to earth. All the concerns and the troubles of the world that would otherwise cause you to lose your joy paled in comparison to the good news that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Later on, Jesus actually said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So the reason for joy is far greater than Christmas itself. The reason for joy is found in God himself and the great love that he showed us when he gave us his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, honestly, what greater reason for joy does a person need than that? I can think of none. May that reality, may that truth give you not only a phenomenally great Christmas this year, but every single year of your life. Because that fact will never change. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your amazingly great love for us, that you would give us yourself, that you would lose the joy and the magnitude of heaven. I mean, we can't even imagine what you gave up. We can't imagine it, to be born on earth, to live your life on earth, and to lose your life on earth, that we might believe in you, that we might trust in you and find life right now and forever. You are a great and amazing God, and I want to thank you for your great and amazing love. I pray, God, for every single one of us here that we will never lose the joy of Christmas again. It's found in Christ, born as a babe in a manger. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.